TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 140, Thursday 17th of January 2008. Show with tech.co.uk. I'm Ian Dixon, and I'm back in the UK after a week in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. It was hard work, walked miles and miles, and feet were aching, and shoulders were aching from carrying the bags around, but it was good fun. It was great to meet all the people that I met, listeners, David, and other podcasters and bloggers. So I've got this week the first of my batch of interviews. I recorded lots of interviews, and this week I'm going to be talking to Rika Vision about their new Sideshow remote. I'm going to be talking to Todd Hedrick from the Windows Home Server team, talking about Windows Home Server and PowerPack 1. And then we'll be talking to Hakan Olsen from the Media Center team, and we'll be talking about the new range of Media Center extenders, which is really the only Media Center news coming out of CES, as you would have probably heard from the previous shows when I was there. Before we go to the interviews, I'm going to start with some news items and email. I've got a few email in, and this is from Stuart. He says, "Hi Ian, thought I'd drop you a line and say how much I've enjoyed your show. I only discovered it a few weeks ago, and I've been listening on my new Zune 80, which is good. I'm liking the podcast features in Zune version 2. I've been using Media Center for about 8 months now, and I think it's a really good product when it works. I'm looking forward to more Sideshow devices with the Vista Media Center gadgets if they ever come out of beta at Microsoft. The guys at Iconos Consulting are doing some great work on Sideshow and enable it for many other devices. I can't wait to sit in the garden on the PDA or PSP and control the audio playlist, etc. I'm looking forward to your new shows from CES. Keep up the good work, and it's good to hear things from a UK point of view for a change, being from the UK myself. Regards, Stuart." Thanks for the email, Stuart. It's great to hear from you. There were hardly any Sideshow devices at CES. I was amazed, really. I had a bit of a joke about it. Even, you know, the only one that I found was the Rika Vision remote, which I'm going to be talking about on this week's show. However, I did manage to get hold of a Sideshow iMate wireless photo frame. So I'm going to have a play around with that, and I'll let you know how I get on with that. Well, thanks for your email. My next email is from Danny. It says, "Hi, first, great blogs and podcasts. Keep it going. I'm after a little help. I remember a while back you posted a blog or podcast topic about your Media Center system becoming sluggish, perhaps due to years of recording schedules. I'm now facing this, and I remember you said delete certain files that would reset the system. I don't mind losing my recordings, but the thing is really crawling these days. Thanks, Danny." Thanks for your email. The file that I was talking about was recordings.xml, which is stored in the eHome directory of the Windows folder. Now, deleting that or renaming that did seem to make my system faster, but that it could have just been all in my mind. You can't delete it or rename it while Media Center's in use, so you've got to kind of stop the Media Center services going. So whether that really does speed things up or not, it's debatable. And be careful, of course, because this contains all your series settings and your series recordings. Yeah, you could just rename it, see if it makes it better, and if it doesn't, then rename it back again. But or use something like MC Backup, and to do a backup first. And there's a link in the show notes for a free download of that. I think it did help my system, so see how you go, but really be careful with that recordings.xml. It's not supported anything like that. Now, finally, an email and update from Richard. "Hi Ian, thanks for reading out my last email. You were indeed correct. I think the stuttering problem was down to drivers. I went through every component and reinstalled the latest drivers for everything, and it's mostly gone away now. The stuttering problem still appears every now and again, but it's nowhere near as bad as before. The stuttering on broadcast TV seems to be linked to how Media Center or the Hopard card handles weak signals. My Sanjin digital TV handles weaker signals in a more grateful fashion, with some slight pixelation in the image when the signal drops below a certain threshold. Media Center, however, seems to be a lot more sensitive with the image simply freezing. This causes problems with my TV to go, where the audio will get out of sync. Do you know if there's any plans for Media Center to better handle degraded signals? I would much prefer a bit of pixelation rather than stuttering. I was also very pleased to hear about V2 extenders. In the meantime, I've got an Xbox 360 working nicely. I'm going to try out the Powerline Ethernet solutions as a stopgap until I wire up my house. Keep up the good work. Any chance of the videos appearing as a video podcast? Cheers and Happy New Year, Richard. Thanks for your email, Richard. You just sent it at the beginning of January. A couple of things. The video feed, there is a separate feed for the video. You just go onto the videos tab on the digitallifestyle.com, and there's a separate RSS feed just for the videos. As for the signal problems, yeah, you get that stuttering, and I don't think there is a workaround. It could be even a hardware thing with the card. I'm certainly not aware of any plans for any changes in Media Center around it. But Richard sent an update, actually. He said, "Hi, a swift update on the extender and on the Powerline networking. I confirm that it works absolute treat. I went for the Develo DLAN 200 AV desk boxes, and the extender works an absolute treat, even when playing HD video. If you aren't wired up and you don't want wires trailing around and you can't use wireless, this is a great solution. Best of all, there's no config, just plug and go. For info, I live in a 1930s semi with wiring so bad that it showed up on the surveyor's get this sorted out warning when I bought the place, and the power line networking still works a treat. It's very impressive, and I can persuade my better half to let me put gigabit Ethernet. Enjoying CES, and I look forward to an in-depth review of the extenders. Cheers, Richard." Thanks for your email, Richard. Thanks for the update. Good to hear that the power line solution is working for you. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that would be interested in hearing that. I might have a look at that myself, because I get a bit of bad signal in the kitchen, so I might give that a try. So thanks for the email. The email address is ian@thejustlifestyle.com. I do like getting your emails, and I've said it before, but I really do like getting your emails, so please keep them coming in. So a couple of news items from CES and away from CES. First one was, while I was at CES, as I mentioned earlier, I met up with Microsoft's Håkan Olsson, who's a senior product planner for the eHome team. And I interviewed him, and we talked about Media Center extenders. And he's got a video up on Channel 10 talking about his home installation. So have a look at that. It's a great series of videos that Microsoft seems to be doing, promoting Media Center and showing employees and how they've got their equipment set up at home. So have a look at that. It's a good introduction on extenders. If you're familiar with them, then you'll know what it can do. But it is a good introduction. A couple other items, big screen updates and other news. Niall has been busy working on a relaunch site to go with these fantastic applications for big screen photos and big screen headlines and all the other stuff. And there's a link in the show notes. And we're going to sort out some a giveaway and maybe a discount for Media Center Show listeners. So look out for that next week. And I'm going to get Niall back on the show to talk about that in a bit more detail. A couple of plugin updates. There's a Media Center Windows Live Messenger plugin that Chris Lanier blogged about, and have a look at that link in the show notes. It's great to have, you know, the option of live messenger. It's not something I'd use on my Media Center, because I tend to have a laptop around for using that stuff. But I know it is a nice feature, and it's sort of removed out of Vista, so it'd be good to see that. So have a look at that link in the show notes. Life Extender had an update, and that's the commercial skipping application. So have a look at that. And Edbot poses the question, how close is DirecTV's PC tuner? And there's a lot of rumours and stories going around CES week about the existence of DirecTV PC tuner. And I've got no information myself, but have a look at Ed's post, and he links to the other posts that have been talking about it. He thinks we'll see it at CES next year, so have a look at that. Now, I posted some pictures up from CES, so check out the link in the show notes, and they're on my blog. And don't forget, I've moved my blog from the Windows Live Spaces to the Digital Lifestyle. So over on Spaces, I'm just kind of doing the transition, so I'm posting a sort of snippets on there. But everything's on the digitallifestyle.com, so everything's together on one site. And since I got back, I've been playing with the BBC iPlayer Now, the BBC iPlayer is a way of watching BBC programmes that have been transmitted over the last 7 days, and you can either watch them through a flash player or you can download those through a download manager. It's only available to UK users. I think there's some IP checking in there, and obviously that's around rights management and things. I suppose it makes a change that it's only available to UK rather than only available to US and not to UK. But I thought I'd have a play with it, because as great as it is to download TV into your PC, I wanted to watch it on Media Center, and I use Xbox 360. So I set it up downloading and downloaded a couple of shows, and it creates a folder called My Deliveries, and in there, there's a folder called iPlayer Live. And I added this folder as a watch folder in Media Center, and then it appears in videos on Media Center. And this works on extenders too, so I was doing this with the extender. And a couple of issues I noticed: all the BBC channel logo videos get downloaded, so you get a load of bump added in there before you even started. And then around naming conventions, I recorded Kig's show, Pingu, and, you know, the name was something like 800042760, you know, blah, 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 .wmv. So not very helpful if you've got quite a few shows recorded, because you've also got the channel logos in there as well. So the folder's kind of full and you've no clear way of reading it. The thumbnails work okay, so you can get an idea of that. The playback works fine. There's no resume feature, because they're just treated as videos, so you get the exact functionality you get with the videos in Media Center. The quality looks pretty good. I had a look at the file sizes and the properties, and a show seemed to be recorded at 762 by 544, and the bitrate seemed to go between 800 kbs and 2200 kbs, so they look quite good even on the big screen. And I was able to stream those to other PCs around the house, so I got that in the kitchen, like I said, through the extender. No good on the Zoom, though, because I think it must be a DRM issue. It wouldn't play on the Zoom. I know I've talked to a few people that had problems streaming it to other PCs, but I had no issues with that. So I think the service is going to be pretty good for me as a backup. If I forget to record something then, and it's been broadcast in the last 7 days, then I can set it to download. I think it needs a proper user interface for Media Center. I guess it's something that's possible. Media Center Market Language is very powerful, and I'm sure someone could do it. It just requires quite a bit of time, and I'm not holding my breath for the BBC to come out with something, but you never know. So overall, good service, and I'd like to hear anybody else who's using it with Media Center or with their PC, so let me know. A couple of videos that I put out from CES. One was around Microsoft Surface. There was a big crowd around this all the time, so I kind of pushed through the crowd and got some video. I quite like the puzzle that they show at the end of the video and the phone store demo. So have a look at this. This is tabletop computing of the future, and I think it's being launched into some T-Mobile stores and some casinos later in the year. But it looked good stuff, and it really certainly drew the crowds. And while everybody was crowded around the Surface demos, I actually talked to the Microsoft robotics team, who was stood next to the Surface guys. They're doing some interesting stuff with robotics and automation. And they have a tool, Robotic Studio, that's a very visual tool for developing robot applications. But from talking to the guys, it's not just about robotics. You can do home automation, and David Lee in the video explains how he's controlling his TV with it. So I can see opportunities here for Media Center development. The tool's very visual. It's kind of blocks that you drag and drop on the screen, so you don't even have to touch code. And you can use it with .NET, so you could use it with the Media Center development kit. You could use it for home automation. You can have it a combination of robotics and home automation and Media Center. You could just use it for Media Center and home automation. So it's quite interesting, really. So have a look at the video for that in the show notes. And another video I've posted is on Fuse Media Systems. I was just walking around with Richard Miller, a fellow Media Center MVP, and we've kind of came across Fuse Media booth, and it looked like Media Center, so we went talking to those. And it's basically a kind of layer on top of Media Center with some parts locked out. So I think you start off on Fuse Media Systems, and if you go to TV, and you kind of see Media Center's recording TV, but you can't get into things like online media. And it's designed for AV installers to install multiple machines around the network, and it does support live TV streaming between PCs, which Richard was quite impressed with. And it has distributed audio and video, and you can see, you can have different zones, and you can sync all the music together so all the zones play at the same time. It looked pretty good, actually. So I'm not sure how disjointed it is between that, having their system and their media center as a layer below it, but have a look at the video. I'm going to get them on the show in the future, so we can talk some more. So if you've got any questions, fire them through, and I'll include them when we talk on the show. Right, so I'm going to take a break now. Message from One Voice, and I'll be back with the interviews.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Okay, so coming up now, we've got Windows Home Server, Windows Media Center, but first we're going to be talking to Rika Vision about their new Sideshow remote controls.
So we're looking at the Rika Vision Sideshow remote, and this is something I've been looking forward to seeing for a long while, and it was getting a lot of interest up at on Microsoft's booth. So it's actually branded products, and you've got it packaged and everything else now. So what is it you're actually showing?
This is the Rika Vision Vave 100. It is actually three different remotes in one, you might want to say, for a consumer. It is a universal remote control that actually works with 20 different devices. It is also a Microsoft certified green button remote control to work with your media center, and then it is also a Sideshow remote control.
And then what's the Sideshow technology about?
The best way to explain Sideshow is that it works with gadgets, and gadgets are small software applications that you download into your computer. And your computer does need to be Vista Home Premium or above to work with the Sideshow technology. You download these gadgets, and then you are able to, the Sideshow will then work with an auxiliary display unit. And that is what our remote control is. It works as a auxiliary display unit.
And so you can get sort of different gadgets on there. So what kind of different gadgets have we got showing off?
We actually have a group of software engineers that are dedicated in our company to creating the gadgets. We have a variety of Plix gadgets that you can download off the RikaVision.com site. Then Microsoft on their live gallery has a whole myriad of gadgets also available. One of my very favorite ones is the PowerPoint gadget, because when you're giving a presentation, it makes your life so much simpler. Right. You know, while you're using the remote control, you can see what you're doing as well on the auxiliary screen. So I love that one. We have a music gadget that not only works with your media center music, but also has approximately, I think, 100 internet stations that it will stream to your Vave as well.
Now, so you can use the Sideshow, or the remote control, to control your music on your media center, queue up playlists and whatever. So that's you're controlling media center or the media player from the remote. But you also showed me how you can then listen to that music via the remote control.
Yes, the remote control does come with the docking station, and the docking station has an area where you can actually plug in your speakers. Now, obviously, the docking station wasn't built to be an audio output, but we also will be selling an accessory product called the SoundVave, and that SoundVave is a great audio device where you just plug in the Vave 100, and it charges it, as well as then will stream your audio to you.
You've got a solution with looking at something with headphones?
the Vaith PS, which is personal surround sound, it is a great tool. It not only is a headset with noise cancellation, it also is Bluetooth, but it also is surround sound using the new WOW technology. And we are currently putting all that together, and hopefully we'll have about Q2 distribution for that.
And you mentioned it's obviously a media center remote, so I guess you've got the whole range of media center functions because you've got the green button on there.
Yes. Yes, we are. We Ricavision originally was a media center guru builder. We worked very closely with Microsoft to do the high-end media centers for your living room. And that's really where we cut our teeth in the media center world.
And then the other aspect of it is the universal remote control, so you can control different devices. And you mentioned that you can control things like Xbox as well, which seems a really good idea that I guess not many people have incorporated.
Well, the Xbox actually is easily controlled through the Media Center button. And what's very cool also is that this will control the PlayStation 3. It also controls Blu-ray, and we work with high def.
And you showed me the facilities for keying in sort of the universal remote. So previous, everybody's used universal remotes. You know, you've got to key in long codes and it never quite works. So you've got a solution for that.
We have a great solution. We have a worldwide 1500 built-in database solution that actually goes alphabetically. So it's a very easy solution, easy user interface there. We also have, it has learning function and it has macros. So the shortcut keys are all built in. It has also European teletext buttons as well.
So I could program that then today to switch on my TV, my AV receiver, my Xbox, and start Media Center up with one button.
With one button. Whatever it is you want, it's customizable, and that's what we really wanted.
And what I find interesting as well is, and I know that sort of the customer installer market is going to be looking at these, but from a consumer point of view, these are packaged up as consumer items, and you're going to be selling those retail.
Yes, they will be worldwide distribution retail, and also through the internet, you'll be able to e-tail it as well as on our site, but we are going to have worldwide distribution.
And what kind of price are you looking at?
Price range is still in flux at the moment. I'm expecting it to be around a $349 price point. That could differ. It could be lower. It could be a little higher, but somewhere around in there.
And finally, you mentioned about the sort of a way of expanding gadgets by working with the community.
Oh, one of the things that we are looking at doing, we have something on our website called the Gadget Bank, and Sideshow is really going to be as good as its gadgets, and the gadgets are really the new ringtones of the future. So what we're doing is we are doing a gadget bank where the community of programmers can develop a gadget and then deposit it into our gadget bank. We will make sure it's clean, make sure it's safe, and then we'll upload it on our site, and people will give everybody credit, different things like that. That's all in progress right now. We're working on that whole process, obviously for virus protection for everybody. And then people can download them easily, safely onto their computers and have the world at their feet. I think the one thing that this remote control does is it proves that a PC is not really just a PC anymore. It's just not a computer. It's really something that's connecting you to the rest of your life. And that's what Sideshow's doing.
And I can see it real benefits for it. Things, you know, looking at program guides and queuing things up without sort of messing with the TV. If family are watching it, you can then use that, look at your email, RSS feeds and everything else.
I think it makes everything so accessible. And, you know, it'll be so portable, because since the VAY works with your computer, you can be someplace other than in front of your TV, you know, have the Bluetooth headset on in the airport. Because it's streaming, it'll be connected to your computer in the airport. So you have those kinds of options. You know, there's a lot of things that are coming in the world. I think that putting your life at your fingertips is really where we're traveling.
And with it being Bluetooth as well, I suppose you don't have to be in the same room. So if you want to take it, listen to some music upstairs, another room or whatever, you can do that.
Right, 50 meters.
Yeah, with the docking station, you can have. That's a solution for multi-remote audio.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, it's great, and it's really good to see it as a shipping product, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in the store shelves.
So are we. We're very excited. We're going to have a very great 2008 and a whole different myriad of things coming on.
And what's the website so can people get more information?
www.ricavision.com.
I'll include a link for that in the show notes. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Ian.
So I think their remote controls look nice, but they are expensive. I heard over $300. I'm not sure whether that is going to really sell as a remote control. But it does have all the universal remote control features in there, as well as the sideshow functions. So maybe that is an option. So now we're going to talk to Todd Hedrick from the Windows Home Server team, and we're going to be talking about the newly announced Power Pack for Windows Home Server. And sorry about the hiss on the recording on this, and there's a little bit on the following interview as well. CS is a bit challenging with different noise levels and things, so we end up with a bit of hiss on this, but it's worth listening to anyway. So, Tara Hemrick, welcome back to the Media Centre Show. And a year since the launch of Home Server, and Home Server is making a big splash. So how have you found the first year of having a launch product?
Both overwhelming and exciting. This is Todd Hedrick from the Home Server team, and it's been a great year, well beyond our expectations, both in the number of enthusiasts that have embraced the product, and also in the community that's been built around it, and also the hardware partners and software partners that have built neat things around Home Server.
We were talking before, the community is one and a great example of, you know, that's come from nothing. So how have you found working with the community?
Can't live without them, and we love also when they're tough on us, because we try and respond. So at CES, we announced Power Pack 1, which is the first minor release of Home Server. And really, the genesis of all the features and the functionality in Power Pack 1 came from the community. So we looked at the top-rated things, you know, for suggestions for the product, and all the things that people were saying, oh, why doesn't it do this or why doesn't it do that, where they actually wouldn't submit a suggestion. And that's how we decided really how to prioritize things.
So in the Power Pack 1, what's new in there?
Lots of things. I'll say a few, and then you can ask me some more questions. But the big features are support for Vista X64 editions with the Home Server Connector software, so you can now backup and do full image-based backup and restore of Vista X64 machines. There's a server data backup feature, so you can backup the shared folders and the home computer backup database to external hard drives that you can then take off-site and rotate in case there's a fire in your house, or for some reason someone breaks into your house and steals your home server, you can protect your data. The other thing is that it's going to be available in Japanese and Chinese versions later this year. In addition, there's better functionality in a remote access, so you can allow someone just access to the shared folders when you give them access remotely to your house. And then you can see thumbnails of photos. You can download to a self-extracting executable file in addition to a zip file, and you have multi-file upload capabilities in remote access too.
Talk about the off-site backup thing, because that is one of the things that I know that the whole community have asked for, you know, how do we prepare? So what is that about?
So when you add a hard drive to your home server, previously it would just add it to the storage pool. And now you're given an option. Do you want to add it to the storage pool, or do you want to make this hard drive available as basically a backup device for your home server? And then you give it a friendly name. So if you have multiples of these, you can remember them by name. And then you can unplug them and plug them in. And when you plug it in the next time, you don't have to format it. You can keep the backups there on it. And then for each hard drive, you'll see the home server appears in the computers and backups tab. And you can selectively, back up the home server and pick which shared folders you want to put on this hard drive, or back up the home computer backup database. Or if it's a big hard drive, you might be able to fit all of your content on it.
So you could use that then as like a disaster recovery, take it with you, and then if you have to rebuild home server, like you said, there's a fire or whatever, you can use that to rebuild it.
Yeah, you can absolutely use it to rebuild it, and the nice thing about the shared folders on that hard drive is they're actually readable on any PC. So if you need a PC for some reason to, access one of those devices, it's not stored in any hidden format, it's just standard Windows.
Because I guess using a USB hard drive, that's make it easy to take it in and out and take it with you.
Yeah, USB, FireWire, or some people actually have using just SATA hard drives and they're plugging them into their home servers, you can actually back up to one of those drives and then just remove it from the chassis. So
that's a good idea. I think that's one of the what people were kind of saying with the weaknesses last year, was that disaster recovery plan. And, talk about it in business, but with the home photos and things, it is essential that you have those things backed up.
Yeah, there are workarounds. Like you could plug a USB hard drive into a home computer and then, copy the shared folders off to that home computer. But then you're basically taxing your home network. So now by adding the ability to where you put the drive right on the home server and allocate it to a backup device for the home server, it's much more efficient.
it's backing up the database, you say, of the backups.
Yeah, so it not only will allow you to pick which shared folders you want to back up, but you can back up the entire home computer backup database. So if something happens, you can, you know, then restore that backup database, you know, from this external drive. There's also a new feature in PowerPack 1 where basically we will go look and interrogate the backup database. There are some people in their early release candidate latter release candidate versions of the shipping product had database consistency checks because they were doing funny things with their home server. So now we've actually built a tool to help repair the backup database on home servers that will ship in PowerPack 1 too.
And the new remote access features, is that designed then so that you could perhaps add, say, relatives and family to look at photos of your kids and those kind of things?
Yeah, it was designed for that. And previously, you know, the family, remote family members would come in, they'd see this computers tab in the remote access UI, and, you know, certain people were worried that, you know, their family members might try and break into their computers. They just wanted a simpler UI. So you can just say, show the shared folders only in the UI for a given user. And then you can have thumbnail views as you go into the photos and see them. And it's pretty nice. There's multi-file upload capabilities now. So when you're on vacation, you used to, you know, there's tools where people would zip files and then upload a zip file and then automatically unzip it. Well, now you can just drag and drop files directly off of a, you know, kiosk PC or a internet cafe PC to your home server and have them automatically available to people.
Which that's a really nice option. So I can upload my photos today in one batch, and then they'll be on the home server.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward, you've had sort of your first year, and you've learned from the first year in the community. What sort of next things that you want to sort of look at, and where do you think your home server is going to be going in the next 12 months?
So in the next 12 months, I think we'll see a lot more hardware platforms and hardware partners bringing products out. So in North America, you know, Hewlett Packard's been a big player, but they're also expanding into Europe. And then there's Medion in Europe, and Fujitsu, Siemens, and iOmega will be bringing out a box in the future. Plus, there's a whole bunch of third-party add-ins from Sonos and Siva, you know, Sonos Music Systems and Siva Photo Frames, embedded automation with home control and things like that. So over the next year, I think it's just this partner community and this partner ecosystem that will, from a hardware and software, you know, build solutions on top of or that integrate with Windows Home Server, you know.
Yeah, so you've got the platform there, and now you hope people will build on top of the platform.
Yeah, we saw more add-ins for Windows Home Server than we did for Media Center for the first, you know, year and a half of Media Center. And we keep getting inundated by people having all these great ideas and asking us, kind of, are we going to go do that, or, you know, is this kind of fertile territory for them to build stuff? And so we're being very, you know, open about, hey, go do that. We have no plans to do that on the horizon. From a Windows Home Server team, the thing we're working on is we're starting to plan and figure out the features and functionalities in the next major release of Windows Home Server. We don't have a date, you know, for that yet, but we're looking at, you know, this list of suggestions and these list of ideas and starting to do customer research and talking to our partners of, you know, how we should prioritize things for that release. And then we'll start getting working on coding on that after we finish up PowerPack.
And I think the PowerPack is great that you've kind of released as, you know, as an update. We should have mentioned it's a Windows update. It's not a cost option. It's just there as part of Home Server through Windows Update.
Yeah, so existing Home Server customers will get the PowerPack functionality as a Windows update when it's available, and it will be free. It's a free download. And then we will also refresh the media for Windows Home Server. So as system builders go and buy and install Home Server, that they'll get the latest media. So they won't need to do, you know, the updates as part of the install process. We'll update the media for PowerPack.
That's great. I mean, I think the whole Windows Home Server is a great product. And I think probably one of the nice things about it is, since being on the beta last year, I've installed mine and it's still running and I haven't touched it. And I never go in the box. You don't need to touch it. And just, everything's through the console.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, it's headless. So there's no monitor, mouse, or keyboard. And, you know, after a while, some people kind of it just runs. You don't even go to the console very often. You know, you go to the console maybe to define a new user or create a new shared folder to store a few things. But basically, just kind of integrates into, you know, the home. And, you know, with it doing the backups every night, you only really think about it if something really bad happens to a hard drive or, you know, or you want to, you know, basically fine-tune things a little bit or add one of the new add-ins that are becoming available. One of my favorite stories, which is kind of mentioned in our press release, that the other neat thing about Home Server is the the stories you hear about people doing fun things with it. And there's a gentleman stationed with the military in the Antarctic, and he's actually reads children's books and records videos of him reading children's books, and he uploads them to the videos folder on his home server, and his wife plays them back to his kids before they go to bed. And so when you build a product, you don't expect to hear these stories, you know, of, like, changing people's lives and family with such a dramatic effect.
And the I wanted to mention the marketing campaign. That's a really an interesting campaign, and something that's slightly different from the sort of the usual press releases and marketing that goes out. So just give us a bit on that.
So we try and have a lot of fun on the home server team, and just like there's stay at home moms and stay at home dads, you know, we created a campaign called Stay at Home Server, and if you go to stayathomeserver.com, you can see some of the funny video vignettes, and we actually created a children's book. And Ian, you have a hard copy in front of you that you're free to take with you. And the whole idea is that basically kind of demystifying, you know, this thing about a server in the house and what it does. And the children's book actually has become quite famous. There's a couple kids in Microsoft who make their dad read it to them every night. And we didn't expect to have that effect. I left my copy at my local dentist office and someone stole it. But the idea behind the campaign is just making kind of point counterpoint of, you know, servers are supposed to stay in offices. No, there are actually some value in the home. And, you know, when we started the whole home server idea within Microsoft and the business, we looked at it as, you know, it's PCs in the mid-1980s to mid-1990s. Everyone kind of laughed at the people that were buying PCs and spending. I mean, the early IBM PC was not a cheap proposition. It was several thousand dollars. And then home networking in the 90s, you know, people say, well, why do you need a home network? I just had, you know, don't you just use dial-up? And, you know, we're still getting those questions about, oh, who would ever need a server in their house? And, you know, all I say is, you know, come see me in 10 years, and I'll bet you'll have one too.
And that's a brilliant product, and I think it fits in with the rest of all the products. I mean, I'd probably like to see more media center integration, but that's, you know, going forward in the future. But it does fit in with everything else, and things like the console and the status indicator, everything. It's just, it's a nice product, and I think... Well, it's an essential product in a lot of households now.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more important because as people have more and more digital media, you see the number of HD video cameras that people are making HD family movies now. And where do you store all that stuff? And, you know, over the course of time, you know, people are going to start recording television shows and keeping them like we used to collect stamps and coins as kids. You know, why throw away something that, you know, the storage space to keep it around is very, you know, easy to add and grow as you need to.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the key things in the storage, but I think that's such a great idea. You just throw the hard disk in there and it's there in your pool.
Yeah, it's another thing that surprises us because, you know, as people install the Windows Home Server, they give an option to anonymously report data back to Microsoft through the Customer Experience Improvement Program. And the exciting thing for us is we get this data and we can't actually correlate even the data points. So we've seen someone actually has 28 hard drives attached to their home server, and there's another person that has over 13 terabytes of free disk space. And we don't know if it's the same person. We can't even tell if that's the data is coming from the same person. And there's a third person, or it could be the same person, that has over 9.5 terabytes of storage already on their home server. So, kind of crazy.
I mean, the guys at Tranquil PC were showing me they're just throwing these hard disks in the little SATA device that put on and loads of storage space in a tiny box.
Yeah, loads of storage space and the ability to add it. So, you know, on average, we see people usually with two hard drives or three hard drives. And, you know, we see people with, you know, 2 to 3 users, but there's people that have 10 users on them. We see home-based businesses, you know, readily adopting the product and are excited about it for, you know, backing up their PCs because, you know, you lose a PC in a home-based business or, you know, a micro-business, it could be a disaster.
Well, many thanks for your time today. I know you've got a few more interviews to do over the course of the week. And good luck with the rest of the week.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to see you again.
Now, the final interview for this week. Kanal-san is from the home team at Microsoft, and we talked about the range of newly announced Media Center extenders, and we talked about some of the Media Center stuff, including Internet TV. So let's have a listen to Hakam.
So I'm here with Microsoft with Hakan Olsen and previous guest on the show, but finally got to meet face-to-face and have a look at the cool stuff that you're showing off here today. And this is kind of the interview I've been waiting for this week. So we're here in the room with all these different great-looking Media Center PCs set up and all the extender devices. So just tell us what you're showing off here today.
Yeah, it's really nice to put a face behind your name as well, so good to see you in person. So what we have here is a Media Center PC, and we have three extenders connected to this Media Center PC. So over here to the right, we have a Linksys VMA 2200, which is now going to be shipping, if not already, very shortly in UK as well. And then in the middle, we have the D-Link DSM 750. And over here to the left, we have the new HP DMR that we announced here at CES.
And they're kind of cater for different ranges of scenarios. So we'll sort of start off from right to left, perhaps. So tell us about the Sangsum unit, because there's been a bit of confusion over what that does support and what that doesn't support. And I think you explained to me before really clearly for the first time I've kind of understood exactly how it works.
Yeah, so actually in addition to these three extenders, we also have, we're showing the prototype of the Samsung unit, and it's as you can see, it's a really small and sleek, smallest of them all, because it's designed to fit, to be mounted on the back of the new Samsung TVs. And it's also designed to use the HDMI CEC control protocol, because when you put it in the back, you can't use an infrared remote control, obviously, because it can't see it. So what happens with this device is that you use the remote for the Samsung TV, and the TV gets the infrared control and translates it to a command to the extender in the back over HDMI CEC. And this is a new technology, and therefore this device will only work with the new Samsung TVs that are coming out this year.
That makes sense to me now that you explain it like that, because if you put that box out of the way and you know that you just use you, and you get again, does it come with its own remote that works with the TV as well?
Yeah, that little little tiny remote over there with the green button on it, that comes with the extender, the Samsung extender, and it has the most important commands, including the volume and power for the TV.
That's a nice little unit there, and then. Moving across, say you've got the Linksys one, and I think that's the one that's going to have European availability, and that again is a nice unit.
Yeah, it sure is. And actually, in Europe, you will have both the 2200 and this 2100. The main difference between these two is that the 2200 has an upscaling DVD player built into it, and both these devices support full high definition over when you do. When you connect it to your media center extender, it does work in Europe with a 50 hertz as well.
And it all works with cable card as well.
Right now it works really perfectly with cable cards here in US, and actually in my home setup as well as here we have dual cable cards, and you can actually go up to 4 cable cards. However, in Europe, that is not yet supported, and that's something that we obviously are working on.
And all the worldwide listeners or the US listeners are very keen to get hold of the cable card, and the four tuners cable card makes a good system with the extender.
Yeah, it does. And what's really neat with it is that you can, and what I think is unique with the Media Center setup is that you have all your content in one place, and you can choose where to enjoy it wherever you want in the house. Like in my house, I have Media Center in the theater area, but then you have we have four additional rooms where you can. I use Xbox as an extender in the bedroom, and then in the other rooms, I have actually the 2200 prototype, the D-Link prototype, and also this 2100 prototype in the third room.
And you showed, regular listeners will know and Media Center users will know about the pausing. You can pause and resume on another device, but I guess that's something that people coming through here that haven't seen Media Center before will be really amazed what you can do.
Yeah, and especially that you can do it so easily, and that you can do it not only with a wired home network connection, you can also do it wirelessly. And you can basically any home network connection with a decent speed.
And the other device you've got, you mentioned the D-Link one, that's a kind of a different form factor to the others. So what do you think is the reasoning behind that? I mean, it's a lot bigger, and at first I wasn't too sure about that because it looks quite big, but you kind of mentioned some good scenarios for it.
Yeah, What we're excited about is to have all our different partners and that they create the form factor that makes sense for their customers. And D-Links has done customer research that showed that their customers want the AV form factor that is...
So the D-Link unit is bigger than the other devices, and I was kind of put off with that at first, but as you mentioned before, there's actually quite a good reason for that.
Yeah, you know, all our partners make the devices... the physical form factor in the form factor that makes sense from them. So everything from the Samsung backpack to the Linksys DVD player and this very small Linksys. But then the D-Link have seen from their customers that they really want a device that fits in an audio-video rack together with your audio-video receiver or other DVD players you have. So they have this 17-inch wide extender, which is still very sleek and... nice.
Yeah, it fits in nicely with the rest of their equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then finally, you've got the HP setup there, which looks really nice.
Yeah, and actually, what we're announcing here as news at CES is not only Samsung, but also that HP, in addition to their Media Smart TV, where there will be a firmware update to make it as an integrated extender, HP is also announcing this. Very sleek and cool-looking extender that is similar to the Linksys 2100. And this extender is will work with any TV, and it has the HDMI and component video out, just like the others.
So you can pick, if you've not got a HP machine, that still works with it?
Yeah, it works with any TV you have, yeah.
The other thing that we showed off, which US listeners have probably seen already, is the internet TV, but it's not available in the UK. But that's a nice feature. How are you finding the reception of that?
We've been blown away with how many the reception of internet TV from the users we've been talking to, and we also see it from the usage numbers. Of course, it goes up by every week. And what's really neat with internet TV is that you can... It's on-demand video, everything from music concerts to there's here in US now we have about these 12 channels that you can go in and start video streams on demand, and also news and even user-generated content topics. It's free for you as a user. It doesn't cost you anything to watch this. It's an advertisement-sponsored business model. So you watch a 15-second video, and then you can watch the content you want.
We've just been watching a concert on here, and the quality is pretty good. I mean, it's on a huge Sony TV, so you know it shows any of the flaws up there. But it's actually reasonable content delivery, and it's watchable on a HD TV.
Yeah, and it's we are using the Amazon Video backend, but the video is actually reformatted to look optimal on a TV screen versus the Amazon videos that are served to PCs. So right now we have over 100 hours of content that you can win and start on demand whenever you want. And as you see, it's pretty decent quality.
And in terms of the sort of the media center box that you're showing here, you've got a LifeWire box down there, and that's kind of running as a server. I guess you've not got any even screens hooked up to that in here.
Yeah. We basically use it in here, in this scenario, as a headless device. It's just working as a media center server, so to speak, in your house. But you could have that hooked up to a TV or screen as well. And that's actually what I do in my house. I have a media center PC in my home theater, and then in the other rooms I use extenders.
That's similar to what I do, but the Xbox 360 is a great extender as well. So I think the extender story is what's going to drive media center, and it's kind of the main drive for media center at CES, I guess, the extenders.
Yeah, and I actually walked the floor here yesterday with Samsung and HP and Linksys and D-Link visited their booths, and not only our booth but all our partners' booths. It generates a lot of excitement right now, so we're truly excited about this.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to see the extenders in use, and I'm looking forward to seeing them come over into the UK. But I know that the US started shipping now, and then there's people receiving them and started to use them.
Yes, and from what I heard yesterday when I talked to Linksys, it has started to ship now in UK as well. So you guys should get it very shortly.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get hold of one. No, not yet. I've seen the Linksys guys tomorrow, so I'm hoping that we'll get at least a demo one.
There we go.
Well, many thanks for your time today. I'm sure you've got a few more people coming through here in the next few days, and I think it's great that that the extenders have been showing off it.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for making it over here.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for all this week. Next week, we'll be talking to Hewlett-Packard, Samsung, and Lifeware, and Microsoft. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Don't forget the forums, the Facebook group, the new location for the blog. Keep your emails coming in, and I'll see you next week. Bye. We'll be right back.